Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of That's Entertainment. I'm your host, Tammy Jones Gibbs, broadcasting live from the NYC. For the next hour, I'm going to give you the latest entertainment news on John Amos, Rich Homie Quan, Garth Brooks, Pink Floyd, Russell Simmons, and a whole lot more. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back after these messages.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
I always had to be so good, no one could ignore me. Carve my path with data and drive. But some people only see who I am on paper. The paper ceiling, the limitations from degree screens to stereotypes that are holding back over 70 million stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time for skills to speak for themselves. Find resources for breaking through barriers at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Just tuning in, you're listening to another edition of That's Entertainment. I'm your host, Tammy Jones Gibbs, where every week I've tried to bring you the latest in entertainment news, celebrity news, and pop culture. If you like the show and you want to know what's going on in the world of entertainment, make sure you click on the follow-up button on top of the show page. That way you get a reminder when I broadcast live. Also, if you want to make a comment about any of today's stories, give me a call. Tell me what you think. The call-in number is 347-637-2656, and press the number one. That's 347-637-2656, and press the number one. Also, like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/thatsentertainment.radio. Follow us on X at That's Entertain One. That's THATS Entertain and the number one. You can also follow me on X at Stiletto14. That's Stiletto like the shoe, STILETTO and the number 14. You can also follow me on IG at T Jones Gibbs. That's TJONES G-I-B-B-S. Right now, the current temperature in the NY is a clear 64 degrees. Before I get started with the show today, I'd like to give a shout-out to all my listeners out there. Thank you for once again for hanging out with me and joining me here on Blog Talk Radio. So how has everyone been? How's your week been so far? Can you believe it? It's already October. Right now, the leaves are slowly changing into their beautiful colors and different hues here in the Northeast. Also, before I get started, I want to give a shout-out. I want to give my thoughts and prayers to some of the people living in the Southeast that were affected by Hurricane Helene. Florida was affected, as well as Asheville, North Carolina. So our thoughts and prayers are with them. Also, we want to remember two celebrities that we lost last week. Actor John Ashton, you know him as the veteran character actor who played the gruff but lovable police detective John Taggart in the Beverly Hills Cop film. He had passed away at the age of 76. We also want to remember the soulful country music superstar Kris Kristofferson. He's the one who wrote Me and Bobby McGee and helped me make it through the night. He also performed with the supergroup The Highwaymen, and he made audience swoon in Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore and A Star Is Born. He was 88. He also he passed away last Saturday, actually, at his home in Maui, Hawaii. Also, not only is it October, but after, I think around about 15 minutes after the hour, we're going to be talking about an artist that I chose to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. Sorry about the ambulance in the background. You know, every October, I think from September 15th to October 15th, so it's a month celebration where we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. And every year it's like a celebration of Latinos and Latina Americans how their community has influenced and contributed to American society at large. And this week we're going to be talking about one Latin artist in particular. We're going to bring his name up 15 minutes after the hour. So let's get started. You know, this week we're going to be talking about the acclaimed actor, the patriarch of groundbreaking sitcom. We're talking about actor John Amos, who we lost actually 2 months ago, but it wasn't until this week that we found out that he passed away at the age of 84. You know him from playing his iconic role as James Evans on the sitcom Good Times, which ran from 1974 to 79. We're going to be remembering him. Also, we found out, it just came over the wire today, what he passed away from. And it's interesting because his daughter found out just like the rest of the world found out. So we're going to be remembering John Amos. Also this week, we're going to be talking about and remembering Rich Homie Quan. He passed away last month at the age of 33, and we found out what was his cause of death. And also we're going to talk about how his memory, how they're going to take his memory and how they're going to use it to live through his music. So we're going to be talking about that. Also, this just came over the wire today. Get this. A woman who worked as a hair and makeup stylist for country great Garth Brooks, well, she just recently filed a lawsuit against him because she alleged that he had raped her in a Los Angeles hotel in 2019. And get this, not only was she the hair and makeup artist for him, but she started out as a hair and makeup artist for his wife, Trish Underwood. Can you believe it? So we're going to be talking about that. And another interesting story this week, British rock band Pink Floyd, they just reportedly sold their music catalog along with their name and likeness to Sony, and I'll tell you how much they sold it for. And also Russell Simmons is back in the news. Apparently he owes three women $3 million. He apparently was supposed to pay them upon some kind of settlement, and these women are talking about it. So let's get started. John Amos, the acclaimed actor who starred as the patriarch in the groundbreaking sitcom Good Times and earned an Emmy nomination for his performance as Kuta Kinte in the seminal miniseries Roots, he has passed away at the age of 84. Now, Amos died on August 21st in Los Angeles of natural causes. This is according to his son, Kelly Christopher Amos. Now, Amos' iconic role as James Evans on Good Time ran from 1974 to 1979, and it earned him widespread recognition. The show featured one of the television's first black two-parent families, and Amos portrayed a hardworking father struggling to support his family. In 1977, Amos starred as the adult Kuta Kinte in the landmark miniseries Roots, based on Alex Haley's novel. His performance earned him an Emmy nomination and cemented his status as an important voice for African-American history and culture. After Good Times, Amos went on to appear in films such as Coming to America in 1988 and the 2021 sequel Coming to America. He also appeared in Die Hard 2, Lock Up. He also had a memorable role as Admiral Percy Fitzwallace on NBC's The West Wing and was a frequent guest star on Two and a Half Men, All About the Andersons, and The Ranch. And speaking of John Amos, we just found out what he passed away from. He had a congestive heart failure, and this was on August 21st. Again, he was 84 years young, and according to his death certificate obtained by TMZ, there was no other significant medical condition contribute to his death, and no autopsy was performed. Now, Amos' remains were cremated on August 30th, 9 days after his passing. His son, Kelly Christopher Casey Amos, was listed as the informant on the death certificate and is believed to be in possession of his father's ashes. Casey Amos confirmed his father's death on October 1 in a statement to People. And this is what he said. He said, quote, "He was a man with the kindest heart and a heart of gold, and he was loved the world over. Many fans consider him their TV father. He lived a good life. His legacy will live on in his outstanding work in television and film as an actor," unquote. Now, Amos' daughter, Shannon Amos, claims she learned of her father's death through the media. In other words, she found out just like the rest of the world found out. She's very upset about it, but who can blame her? She was devastated, and she questioned the circumstances surrounding his passing. And despite previous allegations of elder abuse against Amos' son, an LAPD investigation found no evidence to support the claims. In his later years, Amos was working with his son on a docuseries titled American Dad, which chronicled his life and relationship with KC. So getting back to the daughter, I remember reporting this story about how she put it out there that her father was under some kind of care and he was going through some kind of abuse. I don't know if it was at his home where he was attended by some nursing aide or if he was at a senior living facility, but the story went where she put it out there that he was going through some abuse, but apparently when the police came in, they said they found no evidence. So, but it's a shame that the daughter is finding out for the first time, just like the rest of us. And she just posted on Instagram, actually, 2 days ago when the news report came out. She posted a video of her and John Amos, her dad, dancing and walking along, looked like the beach, and you know, just a remembrance of her dad. So John Amos, may he rest in peace. Another confirmation about another artist that just passed away. The Fulton County Medical Examiner Office has confirmed that Rich Homie Quan, whose real name was DeQuantes Devante Lamar, he died on September 5, 2024, at the age of 33 from a combination of fentanyl, alprazolam, codeine, and promethazine. The rapper death has been ruled accidental. Now, according to the autopsy report retained by TMZ, Quan's body showed no sign of trauma, and a 911 call previously obtained by the outlet revealed that Quan's girlfriend found him unresponsive and foaming at the mouth at his Atlanta home. She told dispatcher that he had fallen asleep on the couch the night before and never came to bed with her. And when she found him the next morning, she realized he wasn't breathing and he had no heartbeat. Now, speculation has circulated on social media that Quan's death was drug-related, and rapper Bootsy Badass was among the first to claim that he had an overdose. Now, Quan was a prominent Atlanta-born rapper who rose to fame with his 2013 hit Type of Way. He worked with several high-profile Atlanta artists during his career, including 2 Chainz and Jackice. He was also a part of the Cash Money record project, Rich Gang, along with Young Thug. Now, Quan's family released a statement following his death expressing their heartbreak and paying tribute to his legacy. They said, quote, "While he leaves us with undeniable hole in our heart, we are confronted by knowing his music and triumphant spirit lives on. Quan's legacy will forever be cemented as a soundtrack to our lives," unquote. And the Rich Homie Quan memory will continue to live on through his music. And on Monday, September 30th, fans received a brand new posthumous visual for his Song Cry track. The Marcel B. directed clip featured emotional footage from his funeral service, as well as cameos from friends like Boosie Badass and DC Young Fly. And throughout the video, highlights of the Atlanta rapper's life and career are shown, including scenes of him recording hits in the studio, rocking the crowd at his shows, riding around in luxury cars, and more. The Life of the Type of Way rapper was celebrated in a going home ceremony on September 17th in South Fulton, Georgia. The agenda was filled with heartwarming initiatives, including the Atlanta City Council declaring September 17th as Rich Homie Quan Memorial Day, as well as speeches from figures like Killer Mike, DC Young Fly, Steven Jackson, and more. Rich Homie Quan again died at the age of 33 on September 5th. The beloved rapper was best known for his hit, again, Type of Way, Flex, and Lifestyle with Young Thug. He earned one award nomination from iHeartRadio and BET, plus four BET Hip Hop Award nominations. Right now, we have 15 minutes after the hour, and, of course, I was going to mention about October being National Hispanic Heritage Month, and this week, we're going to be talking about Latin artist Benito Antonio Martinez Arcacio, better known as Bad Bunny. Now, Bad Bunny is a Puerto Rican rapper, singer, and record producer. He is known as the king of Latin trap. Bad Bunny is the first non-English language act to become Spotify's most streamed artist of the year. He led Spotify lists from 2020 to 2022. He holds the second biggest streaming year of any artist in Spotify history, generating over 18.5 billion streams in 2022. And as of December 2023, his album Un Verano Sin Ti is the most streamed album on Spotify with over 14 billion streams. And throughout his career, Bad Bunny has received 9 nominations at the Grammy Awards, winning 3 times for Best Latin Pop or Urban Album with YHLQMDLG, Best Música Urbana Album for El Último Tour del Mundo, and Un Verano Sin Ti. And he earned 11 Latin Grammy Awards out of 27 nominations. ASCAP Latin Awards recognized him as a Songwriter of the Year in 2020. And within the MTV Award shows, Bad Bunny became the first non-English language artist to win MTV Video Music Award for Artist of the Year in 2022. So we salute Bad Bunny. He's our Latin artist this week in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month. Also this week, we're going to be we're talking about, this just came over the wire, actually, today. A woman who says she worked as a hair and makeup stylist for Garth Brooks alleged in a lawsuit filed Thursday that he raped her in a Los Angeles hotel in 2019. The woman does not use her name, and she goes by Jane Roe in the lawsuit filed in Los Angeles Superior Court. An email seeking comments from Brooks' publicist and attorney was not immediately answered. The woman said in the lawsuit she had worked for Brooks' wife, country singer Trisha Yearwood, since 1999 and had started also working for Brooks in 2017. She said the assault occurred when she traveled from Nashville to Los Angeles with Brooks, who was performing with soul singer Sam Moore at a Grammy Award tribute to Moore in October 2019. Now, Brooks normally traveled with an entourage, but the two were alone on his private jet, and he booked just one hotel suite for both of them. This is what the lawsuit said. The woman alleged that in the suit, he appeared naked in the doorway to the bedroom and raped her. The suit said that he had then proceeded as though nothing had happened and expected her to do his hair and makeup immediately after. She alleged that earlier in 2019 when she was at Brooks' home, he had appeared naked in front of her, grabbed her hands, and put them on his genitals. Now, the lawsuit says that Brooks filed his own preempted lawsuit in federal court in Mississippi last month, in which both him and the woman are anonymous. In court filings in that case, The plaintiff he's going by the name of John Doe, and he said that the allegations are wholly untrue, and he first learned of them in July when she threatened to publicly sue him unless he gave her millions of dollars. Now, he asked a judge to stop the woman from intentionally infliction of emotional distress, defamation, and false-like invasion of privacy. The woman sued also said that Brooks exposed himself to her many other times and talked about sexual fantasy with her and sent her explicit text messages. She said she was forced to keep working for Brooks because of financial hardship, which she knew about and took advantage of. An email to the woman's attorney asking whether she had reported her allegation to police was not immediately answered. The 62-year-old Oklahoma-born Brooks was the biggest star, actually, in country music of the 1990s, with hits including Friends in Low Places and The Thunder Rolls. He brought arena rock theatrics to his concert and a pop music sensibility to his recording. He had huge success that went beyond typical country audiences. He married fellow country star Yearwood in 2005. Now, there was no immediate response to a message to a Yearwood representative seeking comment on the lawsuit. British rock band Pink Floyd has reportedly sold its recorded music catalog along with its name and likeness rights to Sony Music, get this, for $400 million. Sources told Variety that the legendary rock band had come to an agreement after decades of fighting among band members. And according to the outlet, this deal only includes recorded music rights and not songwriting. Plink Floyd music catalog is one of the most valuable in contemporary music, with albums such as Dark Side of the Moon, The Wall, Wish You Were Here, Animals, Metal, Piper at the Gates of Dawn, and more. According to the outlet, Sony has spent more than $1 billion on music catalogs from Bob Dylan to Bruce Springsteen. Pink Floyd did not immediately respond to comment to Fox Business, but Pink Floyd music catalog has reportedly been in play for years. Variety reported that the band nearly closed a deal in 2022 for $500 million, but infighting among band members killed the deal. Russell Simmons owed three women $3 million after failing to pay them previously agreed upon settlement. This is according to the court records. Three confessions of judgment were filed Wednesday in New York County Supreme Court on behalf of journalist Cilla Abrams, Sherry Abernathy, and Wendy Carolina Franco. The documents were part of a confidential settlement agreement that the women entered into the music mogul in November of 2023. Simmons agreed to pay each woman substantial sums for claiming alleged personal physical injuries and sickness by October 1, but according to the documents, he had failed to pay. He provided the confession of judgment to the plaintiffs last year as part of the settlement, and in the event of a default, they give the plaintiffs an expedited means to obtain judgment in New York State Court and to begin the collection process. Simmons pledged to pay $1,265 each to Abrams and Abernathy and $515,000 to Franco. Under the settlement, Simmons did not admit any wrongdoing. Now, the documents do not explicitly state why the original settlement was made, but Abrams, an author and domestic violence activist, had previously made allegations that Simmons raped her in 1994. And in 2020, she participated in the documentary On the Record, which focused on black women experiences in hip-hop. Over nearly a decade, more than 20 women had accused Simmons of sexual assault as recently as this past February, when a Jane Doe, who once worked for Def Jam, said that he raped her in late 1990s. 2 days after the suit, another former Def Jam executive named Drew Dixon sued him for defamation after she claimed he sexually assaulted her, and he subsequently branded her a liar. Does that sound familiar? In a podcast interview last year, Simmons acknowledged being in compromising situations, but said he had taken and passed 9 lie detector tests dealing with the allegations of violent conduct. And Diddy is declaring his innocence from behind bars as one of his fallen mogul attorneys has released a statement following the producer being hit with a wave of 120 abuse allegations via Texas attorney Tony Bugsby. Accusations including drugging and sexually assaulting a pregnant woman and the abuse of 25 minors. Bugsby held a press conference on Tuesday, October 3rd, where he confirmed he's been representing over 100 people with sexual assault claims against the Bad Boy founder, including 25 individuals who were under the age of 18 during the alleged incident. One, get this, was reportedly as young as 9 years old. Combs is currently behind bars on charges of racketeering, conspiracy, sex trafficking by force, fraud and coercion, and transportation to engage in prostitution. Right now, we have here 25 minutes after the hour. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Drake. Apparently, he has cleared his social media page out of negativity. I'll tell you what he meant by that. And Grandmaster Caz, Roxanne Shanté, and Kumo D are being honored at the 2024 Hip Hop Grandmaster Awards for their cultural contribution and lasting influence on the genre of rap. And in a weekend of box office surprises, The Wild Robot has flown high to the top spot, dethroning the three-week champion, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And Tom Hardy, the man who we know as Venom, The Last Dance, this is going to be his last time doing the iconic role. And Daniel Kaluuya, get this, is going to be set to be immortalized with a statue in London over his successful character in Get Out. All those stories and more coming up after the break, so don't go anywhere.
Spaghetti, salsa, mozzarella on a table of pasta. You got a couple of motherfucking train killers on your fingers. Tanya. I know this being is Frank Sinatra. When I be saying that I'ma keep it, you gangster as mobsters. But when you got fanatics going so crazy, they mob ya. Looking like organized crime because you can't get a mafia. And all your motherfucking enemies, they wanna up ya. Like Hoffa, and dump your body in Lake Minnetonka. That's how you knew you fucking saw and you came and you conquered.
Many bitty bitches stomping and making them bomb.
Now women treat me like BDK, the king, and they feed me grand. Either way, I got more on my plate than an oil you beneath my face. So better pick a BT day, cause your history is shaky. Is they about to set it on you like a TV tray, man. I see the way people say I'm so evil. They fucking think that Timothy McVeigh and my DNA are exactly the same. But when I leave this game, things ain't gonna be the same. But it's a need to change, and I'm the meter maid. Go ahead and crack a bottle, cause this is Team J. Me and Team J, got that avocado. We the sociopaths, so we got your on our laps. We're going back to Cali so she can blow on our sacks.
I don't think so.
To That's Entertainment, your number one source for entertainment news and pop culture with me, your host, Tammy Jones Gibbs, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Right now we have 29 minutes left remaining in the show. That was Mew Music from LL Cool J featuring Eminem and Murdergram Deuce. Before we went to the music break, I was telling you about Drake. Apparently, he's clearing his social media page out of negativity. The Grammy Award-winning artist, who had been feuding with several fellow hip-hop stars, has removed a number of A-listers from Instagram. According to several reports, the God Plan hitmaker has unfollowed Sean P. Diddy Combs amid the latter legal woes. This was after the 37-year-old unfollowed LeBron James, Metro Boomin, Playboi Carti, Joe Budden, and DeMar DeRozan. Now, the reason behind Drake's move is unclear, but most of the people he unfollows seem to have ties with his nemesis, Kendrick Lamar. Metro was featured on K-Dot's Like That, which is believed to be a diss song aimed at Drake and J. Cole. DeMar danced on stage at the Pop-Out and made a cameo in the Not Like Us video. Now, Drake's former friend LeBron was also alleged to have turned his back on the Canadian superstar after the athlete attended Kendrick's star-studded Juneteenth concert over the summer. Joe has always been a vocal critic of Drizzy. Playboi, meanwhile, didn't seem to fall into any of these categories, leaving social media users puzzled. He, however, was removed from Drake's No Face version that landed on streaming, further hinting at the strain between the two artists. A rep for Drake has not responded to a request for comment on his unfollowing spree. Drake beef with Kendrick was made apparent after the latter release Not Like Us, which debuted at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 following its release in May. Since then, the two have exchanged diss songs aimed at each other. Grandmaster Caz, Roxanne Shanté, and Kumo D are being honored at the 2024 Hip Hop Grandmaster Award for their cultural contribution and lasting influence on the genre of rap. The second annual Hip Hop Grandmaster Awards will take place on Saturday, October 5th at the Aria Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, and will culminate in three of Hip Hop greatest MCs of the Golden Era receiving their flowers. Hosted by actor Terry Crews, this year gala will include a mix of appearances and performances from hip-hop luminaries like Nas, Fab Five Freddy, Dougie Fresh, DJ Jazzy Jeff, and more. The Hip Hop Grandmaster Awards is presented by the Pay in Full Foundation, a nonprofit charitable organization founded by Benjamin and Felicia Horowitz in 2022 and headquartered in Las Vegas, Nevada. The Pay in Full Foundation focus is dedicated to acknowledging transformative artists who have made a significant cultural impact and empowered them to fulfill their continued creative and artistic endeavors. The inaugural Hip Hop Grandmaster Awards took place last year in Las Vegas and saw iconic rap lyricists Rakim and Scarface, who will be in attendance at this year's event, being honored for their respective career and legacy. Both artists were awarded $500,000 apiece as a show of gratitude by the Pay in Full Foundation. In a weekend of box office surprises, Universal and DreamWorks Animation, The Wild Robot, has flown high to the top spot, dethroning the three-week champion Beetlejuice Beetlejuice. Domestically, The Wild Robot grossed an impressive $35 million in its opening weekend, exceeding expectations and potentially enjoying the staying power of other post-pandemic animated hits. In contrast, Francis Ford Coppola's long-awaited epic, Megalopolis, has bombed at the box office. Now, the $120 million budget film, which Coppola financed entirely himself, opened with a disastrous $4 million in ticket sales, falling short even of initial projections. Meanwhile, Beetlejuice Beetlejuice has slid to second place in its fourth weekend of release, earning $16 million domestically. The spooky sequel has now amassed $250 million at the domestic box office and $373.3 million globally. Paramount's Transformer 1 has dropped to third spot, taking in $9.3 million. And rounding out the top five are the Indian Telugu language action film Devara Part 1, which came in fourth place at $6.7 million, and Universal and Blumhouse's Speak No Evil came in fifth place at $4.3 million. Tom Hardy, the cornerstone of Sony's Spider-Man universe, bid a heartfelt farewell to his iconic role as Eddie Brock, a.k.a. Venom, with the upcoming release of Venom, The Last Dance. As this chapter closes, the future of the franchise hangs in the balance. Tom Hardy made a significant impact on the comic book movie genre with his portrayal of Bane in The Dark Knight Rises, but his role as Venom has become his most notable contribution to the superhero realm. Hardy debuted as Brock in the 2018 movie Venom was pivotal in establishing Sony's Spider-Man universe. Now, at this portion of his career concludes, Hardy has expressed his gratitude to fans while confirming that Venom, The Last Dance will be his final outing as the symbiote power anti-hero. Venom, The Last Dance hits theaters on October 25th. Daniel Kaluuya, the star of the critical acclaim and commercial successful Get Out, is set to be immortalized with a statue in London's iconic Leicester Square. The statue, selected by a poll of 5,000 British film fans, will pay homage to the character Chris Washington, played by Kaluuya in the film. The statue will commemorate the sunken place scene where Chris is hypnotized and transported to a suppressed and metaphysical abyss. Now, Kaluuya's portrayal of Chris earned him an Oscar nomination and launched his career to new heights. Kaluuya expressed his gratitude and excitement on Instagram, noting that the statue will join a prestigious lineup of cinematic figures such as Batman, Harry Potter, and Mary Poppins. The statue will be unveiled in October, coinciding with Halloween and Black History Month in the UK. In addition to the recognition of Kaluuya's talent, the Get Out statue also symbolized the film impact on cinema. The film, directed by Jordan Peele, shattered box office records and earned numerous Oscar nominations, winning Peele the Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay. Get Out has been lauded for its exploration of racial themes and its status as a groundbreaking debut film. Daniel Day-Lewis, widely regarded as one of the greatest actors of his generation, is returning to screen after a seven-year hiatus. In 2017, Day-Lewis announced his intention to retire from acting after starring in Phantom Thread. However, he is now emerging from retirement to star in Anemone, the feature director debut of his son, Ronan Day-Lewis. Now, the father and son duo co-wrote the script for the movie, which explored the complex relationship between father, son, and brothers. Day-Lewis will also star alongside Sean Bean from The Lord of the Rings, Samantha Morton from The Serpent Queen, Samuel Bottomley from How to Have Sex, and Sophia Oakley Green from She Said. The release date for Anemone has not yet been announced, but the production is currently underway. Daniel Day-Lewis' return to acting has sparked excitement among film enthusiasts and anticipation for his portrayal in his son's director debut. Prepare yourself for a chilling return for to Woodboro as Scream 7 is set to hit theaters on February 27, 2026. This was confirmed by the returning star, Neve Campbell. Now, Campbell is reprising her iconic role as Sydney Prescott. It broke the news on social media with a cheeky Instagram post teasing a killer 2026. That's what it was said in quotes. Alongside her, the franchise creator, Kevin Williamson, will helm the director chair. This release marked 3 years since the franchise last outing with Scream 6 in 2023 and the return of Campbell, who previously skipped Scream 6 due to a salary dispute. However, the franchise has faced challenges in recent years. Melissa Barrera, who starred in the fifth installment Scream and Scream 6, was fired for her pro-Palestinian stance, while Jenna Ortega, another key cast member, departed due to scheduling conflict with her Wednesday production. And despite these setbacks, the fate of Scream 7 remains in the air until Campbell's recent announcement. Courtney Cox is also in talks to reprise her role as Gale Weathers, although a deal has yet to be officially finalized. The Scream franchise has grossed over $908 million at the global box office since its inception in 1996. Scream 7 is set to be a global release for Spyglass Media and Paramount Pictures. And Lil Wayne has received his second Diamond Certification from the RIAA for his 2013 hit collaboration Love Me featuring Drake and Future. The new plaque comes almost 2 years since the New Orleans legend first earned Diamond status for 2008 Lollipop. Love Me stemmed from Weezy's 2013 album I Am Not a Human Being 2 and became his 18th top 10 hit. The record peaked at number 9 in the Billboard Hot 100, was Future's first top 10 hit and most successful single until his 2017 classic, Mask Off. The news may be bittersweet for Lil Wayne, who recently expressed his extreme disappointment over not being selected as the 2025 Super Bowl halftime show headliner. Several artists, including Birdman, Juvenile, and Master P, rally behind Weezy. However, the decision for the 2025 headliner remains that Kendrick Lamar will take center stage at Super Bowl 60 in February. Melissa Etheridge and Josh Stone, who sang together memorably 20 years ago in a duet on the Grammys, will join together again in spring of 2025, this time for a joint tour. Now, so far, the 10-city outing will mostly hit the northeastern United States with one date on the Canadian side of the border. It begins April 18, 2025 in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and ends May 2nd in Roanoke, Virginia, with stops in cities including Newark, Boston, and Albany. Now, in 2005, the two powerhouse vocalists teamed up on the Grammys to sing Peace of My Heart as a salute to Janis Joplin. The public on sale tickets is tomorrow, Friday, at 10 a.m. local time. This will be preceded by a special artist presale Wednesday and a local presale on Thursday, also at 10 local time, both days. VIP packages and additional information can be found at Etheridge and Stone website. So that should be interesting because, again, these two have not teamed together in such a long time. Right now we have here, let's see, we got about almost 17 minutes left in the show. I'm going to go ahead and take another musical break, and I'll be back with the last remaining story of the day, so don't go anywhere.
Yeah, glow, with some shell toes. Yeah, glow, slapping rap. end up in the jail. On the pizza, where you been at? Mine, every brown, working hard. Maybach and G-Wagon truck. Got M&M's and Mac Rod. Sweep the crank up on the... You better not get me started. Locked in with the gangsters and players. My phone don't keep it solid. Everything I got on new, it look like I got renovated. I'm cocky, but I was just humble. They didn't appreciate it. Young, wealthy, and ratchet. I'm the hood motivation. On top of the world now, they try to underestimate me. Get them close, them project, you know you the truth. Get them close, stop overthinking. These f***ing back with you. Get them close, standing on business in these Chanel shoes. Before I let her play with me, I go eat some jail food on gang. Get them close, step a little with some shell toes.
Yeah, that was Glorilla and Yeah, Glow. Speaking of Glorilla, whose real name is Gloria Hallelujah Woods, she revealed that she is set to release her highly anticipated debut album titled Glorious in less than 1 month. And following the success of her breakout single FNF, Let Go, and the release of her EP, Everything, Glorilla has taken the hip-hop world by storm. She signed to Yo Gotti's Collective Music Group, and she has been praised for her fierce energy and unapologetic style. Now, the album cover art channels 90s R&B vibe, showcasing Glorilla's vibrant personality. And over the past year, Glorilla has secured a spot on the Billboard Hot 100 staple with her hit that we just heard, Yeah, Glow, TGIF, and Wannabe, featuring Megan Thee Stallion. She has opened for Megan for the Hot Girl Summer Tour. She performed it at the VMAs and even met with President Joe Biden at the White House. Glorious is expected to solidify Glorilla's place as a breakout talent in the rap industries, and fans are eagerly anticipating the new music, which is sure to further elevate her career. And with her bold southern style and commanding presence, Glorilla is poised to make a major splash with her debut album. Olivia Rodrigo has announced a concert special to debut on Netflix on October 29th. Now, the streamer will air the vampire pop star performance from the Intuit Dome in Los Angeles from her Guts World Tour. The streamer will air the vampire pop star performance from that dome. It's supposed to be from that world tour. That's what it's saying in the press release. Rodrigo Guts Tour, in support of her second album of the same name, it kicks off in February of 2024 and runs until March of 2025. Supporting acts have included The Breeders, Remy Wolf, and Chapel Roan. Guts, the album, follow-ups Rodrigo's debut, Sour, which launched her to stardom with songs like Driver's License and Good For You, with even more punky pop hits like All American Bitch, Bad Idea Right, and Get Him Back, to name a few. The concert special is directed by James Merriman and produced by Blink, Inc., in association with Lighthouse Management and Media and Interscope Films. Grammy-winning artist Lauryn Hill has responded to a lawsuit filed by her former Fugees co-founder, Praz Michelle, accusing her of fraud and breach of contract over the group's abbreviated 2023 tour and canceled 2024 tour. In a statement, Hill is characterized by a Michelle suit as baseless and full of false claims and unwarranted attacks. She claimed that the suit omits his advance overpayment for the last tour and his failure to repay substantial loans she extended to him as an act of goodwill. Now, Hills maintained that the 2024, which was canceled by Live Nation, was being planned regardless of the Fugees' involvement. Michelle's suit alleged the participation of Hill and Wyclef Jean was a simulation made by Live Nation. Now, In the response, a publicist for Michelle's attorney dispute, Hills claimed, accusing her of failing to provide financial accounting and refusing an audit of their books. Now, Hill's attorney, Howard King, called the suit desperate and unfortunate and said it is packed with lies and intentionally disparaging remarks. He adds that Michelle was grossly over in advance for the previous tour to help pay his legal bills and that his failure to repay the funds is a breach of their agreement. Now, Hill asserted that she expanded her 2023 tour to include the Fugees solely to aid Michelle's legal defense. However, Michelle alleged that Hill's attempt to portray herself as his savior was a vile and devious attempt to profit financially from the reunion tour. Now, in her statement, Hill acknowledged that his legal battles, including his conviction for acting as an agent of China and his involvement in the 1MDB scandal, and despite her initial silence, Hills remained compassionate and hoped things would work out for Michelle. Hill also state that she has receipts to corroborate Michelle's alleged gratitude for her financial support. The legal bio highlights the complex dynamics within the Fugees and the challenges they have faced in managing their legacy amidst personal and financial issues. Ari Lennox, known for her R&B album Age, Sex, Location, has revealed her struggle with record labels in the music industry. She was speaking on social media, and she shared that she has been scammed by two different labels, including Interscope Records. Now, Lennox described her first label experience as a scam, saying they disappeared after she signed with them. She also recalled losing an opportunity to audition for American Idol due to her contract with the label. Despite the disappointment, she acknowledged the difficult decision she had to make. Her second deal with another label also ended in a similar fashion, with Lennox feeling cheated. However, she expressed that she has come to terms with the incidents, and Lennox's experiences have resonated with fans and sparked discussions about the issue facing artists in the industry. Now, some fans speculate that record labels are abandoning their A&R departments and signing artists solely to prevent competition. Others believe there's a lack of desire for R&B music among the general public, and these comments highlight the complex struggles faced by R&B artists in the current music landscape. And despite the challenges she has faced, Lennox remained determined to overcome adversity. Her transparency about the music industry harsh realities have garnered her even more respect from fans. And through her perseverance and talent, Lennox continued to inspire aspiring musicians who face similar hurdles. You know, they always say that the music industry is a, it's not a good business to be in. A lot of times record labels are not promoting their artists like they should be, and then they're stuck in a contract where they can't get out unless they fill their commitments to record, say they have two more albums to go. Say they got a 10-album deal and say they only did three, and then they fall on hard times or they feel like they're not being promoted and they want to get out of their contract, and sometimes they're very difficult. Or sometimes they fight with having to own their publishings to their song. So the record business, the recording business is a very tricky business. It can be very, it's unbecoming. And you got to know what you're doing, and you got to bring your lawyers, you got to bring your accountant, because a lot of them do not look out for their artists. Right now we got 6 minutes left remaining in the show. And for the final stories of the day, Beyonce has officially submitted her album, Cowboy Carter, for consideration in the Best Country Album categories at the 2025 Grammy Awards, and this is according to The Hollywood Reporter. The submission comes after a controversial snub at last month's Country Music Association Award, where the album received zero nominations. Cowboy Carter, released in March, topped the charts and is credited with ushering in a black country music renaissance in contemporary music. The album featured collaboration with icons like Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson and Miley Cyrus. If nominated, Beyoncé would become one of the few artists to earn Grammy nods across multiple genres, including country, R&B, rap, pop, rock, and dance. Her previous attempt to break into country music with Daddy's Lessons from her 2016 album Lemonade was rejected by the Grammy's Country Committee. However, Cowboy Carter is receiving widespread praise for its authentic sound and modern yet traditional approach to the genre. The Grammy voting process is ongoing, with nominations being to be announced on November 8, 2024. The live Grammy 2025 ceremony will air on February 2, 2025 from the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. And songs by Adele, Bob Dylan, Green Day, R.E.M., Burna Boy, Rush, Kendrick Lamar, Nirvana, and Mariah Carey are among those currently unavailable on YouTube in the United States. When users attempt to play these songs, they receive a message saying, "This video contains content from SESAC. Is not available in your country." Now, YouTube stated in a statement that they have been unable to reach an agreement with SESAC to renew the existing deal. And as a result, content representative by SESAC is no longer available on YouTube in the United States. And they said that it's smaller than other performing right organizations such as ASCAP and BMI, but it represents a significant portion of the music market. They collect royalties and protect copyrights on behalf of songwriters and music publishers. A source close to the situation suggests that YouTube move may be a negotiating tactic, as the previous deal actually does not expire until next week. The blockage has affected not only direct performances of these affiliated songs, but also songs by other artists that feature SESAC-affiliated songwriters. Fans have expressed frustration on social media while YouTube continued to work on reaching a new agreement. Similar dispute has occurred in the past, such as the battle between Universal Music Group and TikTok earlier this year. However, such blocks typically do not last more than a few days or weeks. Billy Joe Armstrong, the frontman of the iconic punk rock band Green Day, is no stranger to voicing his opinion. Earlier this month, while performing in San Francisco, Armstrong made headlines by expressing his frustration with MLB team owner John Fisher over the decision to relocate the Oakland A's to Las Vegas. And during his rant, Armstrong didn't mince words, stating, quote, "I hate Las Vegas. It's the worst S-hole in America," unquote. Now, Las Vegas, it appears, hasn't taken too kindly to Armstrong's comments. Two local radio stations reacted swiftly. KOMP 92.3 took to Instagram to announce that it would be pulling any and all Green Day songs from its playlist rotation. The post had a straightforward caption saying, quote, "It's not us, Billy, it's you," unquote. Following this, X107.5 declared on its website that it, too, would be banning all Green Day music effective immediately. Their statement added that, quote, saying, "Sin City heard him loud and clear, and X107.5 is not having it," unquote. As to how much before the band Green Day was being played on these stations is uncertain, as is the duration of this band. X107.5 recently played track lists, including songs from Sublime, Sum 41, Arctic Monkey, and The Offspring, an indication that the station continues to support modern rock, just not Green Day for now. This comes after Green Day's savior single, Dilemma, reached number one on Billboard's mainstream rock airplay and alternative airplay chart earlier this year. And despite their sold-out 2025 tour and the release of their 10th studio album, Moon Music, Coldplay's future is set, according to lead singer Chris Martin. In a bombshell announcement, Martin revealed that the band will only release two more proper albums before disbanding. Speaking to Zane Lowe on Apple Music One, Martin explained his reasoning, saying that less is more. citing examples from other iconic artists like Harry Potter, the Beatles, and Bob Marley. He emphasized the importance of quality control and constant improvement. And despite the band's decision to limit their album output, Martin hinted at the possibility of other projects in the future. However, he stressed that any side thing they pursue would have to be something completely different from Coldplay's current sound. This is not the first time Martin had hinted at the band's end. In 2021, he told NME that he was certain that Coldplay would stop making music after their 12th record, and at the time he clarified that he did not know whether that album would be their next release or further down the road. Martin's candid admission followed recent criticism over ticket prices for Coldplay's 2025 tour. However, the band has faced similar backlash in the past, highlighting the challenges associated with balancing fan demand with ethical pricing. Well, that's going to do it for me for this week. Tune in next time when we do it all over again. You've been listening to That's Entertainment. I'm your host, Tammy Jones Gibbs. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. Make sure you stay safe, and I'll talk to you next time. Take care.